For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I gotta call a timeout. Congratulations, 9 to 5. You know how this goes. I am starting to think, and I've thought this for a while, Rob secretly tries to sabotage me and has beef. All I do is look out for Rob behind the scenes. Rob needs something, I always try to come through for him. Rob is my brother. He knows that. We have one promo that calls me a bona fide scrub, and I let it slip. I don't even know why, who was like, listen to the drive. He's a bona fide scrub. Why would you listen to the drive then? It seems very counterproductive to what we're doing here to call the host of the show a scrub. But I let it slip. Rob knows I'm hurt. And Rob knows I'm reeling. Now, I asked Rob during the commercial break, hey, who cut this? He was like, that was me. He had a little chuckle about it. He had an evil grin on his face. Why are we playing this?
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you.
Why are we playing this? Because you want to know all that that does? All that that does is give you guys a runway to laugh at me, to mock me, to ridicule me. You guys don't do that enough. That's enjoyable to you guys, to make fun of me, to kick me while I'm down. Rob didn't put any sweepers in there about his KU team that was ranked preseason number one. He was telling me Hunter Dickinson could be National Player of the Year when the season started. He didn't find any of those cuts. He didn't find any of that. We didn't find him talking about AJ Store and Zeke Mayo coming home. He didn't cut any of that. But he gonna try to kick me when I'm down? With friends like that, who needs enemies? Is my question. Who needs them? I don't like what's happening behind the scenes here. This must have happened those couple of days I was out sick. That's why I'm not going. Because I don't know what happens when I come back. I feel like Childish Gambino. I walked into a room. Room was on fire for no reason. I haven't done anything. But you know what? I'm just going to keep putting my head down and doing the work. That's all I can do. Can I give you guys some Royal stats? And I would actually like a random lineup today. Can we do a random lineup, Rob? Let's do a random lineup. I want to give you guys just a handful of Royal statistics. We'll do a random lineup, and then we'll get to the Chiefs. Going into Sunday's game, all of the hitters on the team, not named Bobby Witt Jr., were hitting 195 collectively. I'm going to say that again in case somebody next to you honked and you missed it. Take Bobby Witt Jr. off the team. Poof, he has vanished.
I did a Penn and Teller magic trick. Bobby Wood Jr. is gone. Everybody else on the team is hitting 195. The Royals are very simple. Sometimes I struggle how to talk about the Royals because they seem so straightforward. Like people in my position, we like rack our brain and like find all of these. Sometimes the answer is right there in front of you. The Royals are 2-13 this season when they score fewer than four runs. 2-13. When the Royals score four or more runs, they are 7-1. Guess what they did on Sunday? They scored four runs. Guess what happened? They won. Now I know you're thinking, well, can't, that's obvious. Have you told them? Have you considered maybe they don't know this statistic and maybe it is my job to inform them? When they score three or fewer, they are 2-13. The Royals are actually kind of good when they score. You know, they got good pitching. They got good defense. They got a good enough bullpen. Man, when the Royals help the rotation out and they help the pitching staff out a little bit, hey, this team's actually pretty good. They could win their division. They could make some noise. They're the team we expected at the very beginning of the season. Doesn't happen nearly enough. Now, I'm hoping and praying and wishing that this is a get-right week. Colorado is terrible. I mean, Colorado, it's like watching the – what you're going to see tomorrow if you go out to Kauffman Stadium is you are going to see the 2025 Royals play the 2005 Royals. They're playing a game out there. It is turn back the clock day at Kauffman Stadium for the next 3 days. The Rockies are terrible. The worst team in baseball are bad. Tomorrow's a day to go out there. It's Dollar Dogs night. Take your lady, take the kiddos, take the family out there, get you some Dollar Dogs. And I want to see the Royals start to pummel on a bad team. We've had a lot of conversation about the schedule and if it's been tough, or I don't care about that anymore. They're on the other side. This was a bad week. It was a bad week, but you know what? They've come out on the other side. Now it loosens up a little bit and they play the worst team in baseball. They cannot afford to lose this series. I know it's April. It's early. I don't care. You cannot afford to lose a series to the Colorado Rockies. Not when you're scuffling. The purpose of a slump buster is to bust the slump. You've been in a slump the entire season. The baseball gods have decided to put the Colorado Rockies in the middle of your skid. Punish them. Simple. Punish the Colorado Rockies because they are a bad team. They are what the Royals used to be. The Royals, they have moved past that. They have evolved. The Royals are 2-13 when they score three or fewer runs this season. And collectively, without Bobby Witt Jr., they are hitting 195. It is difficult to be as bad offensively as the Royals have been so far this season. They are not out of it. They are 4.5 games back. They got the Rockies coming in. This is a get-right time. So don't miss this opportunity. You only get one shot of a home series against the Rockies. Take care of business against the worst team in baseball. All right, we'll get back to the NFL draft coming up in a little bit. We'll also get to the hits coming up. But you know what, Rob? It's been a while since we've had this. I would love it. Hit me with a random lineup.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrying today's random Royals lineup goes back to those Royals of years past you mentioned. This is the Royals lineup on this date in 2005, where the Royals lost to the Minnesota Twins 9-10, which started a 9-game losing streak for the boys in blue.
Okay, here you go. More negativity, man. You're bringing us down with your negativity.
Leading off for the Royals in center field should be Royals Hall of Famer David DeJesus.
I love your one-man crusade for this.
Oh, I'm going to get Kurt Nelson, if you're listening, get him in.
And let's, you know what? Let's have Kurt Nelson on the show and ask him why he's not in there.
I'll be on the field. I'll do whatever you need me to do, Kurt. Get him in the Hall of Fame.
They need to let you throw out the first pitch that day.
I'll put the little blue jacket on David DeJesus' shoulders.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Batting second at third base, Tony Graffanino. Batting third, the first baseman, Mike Sweeney. Batting fourth, in left field, Eli Marrero.
You know the best way to describe Mike Sweeney to the kids that didn't get a chance to see Mike Sweeney? He was early 2000s Bobby Witt Jr. He did all the hits, all the runs, all the home runs, and would pray that somebody else could get on base and somebody else could help him. There was a two-year stretch there that Mike Sweeney was one of the five best hitters in the American League, and they gave him Tony Graffanino as his two-hitter.
Batting fifth, the shortstop, Angel Barroa.
That's who statue should be in the Royals Hall of Fame.
Batting sixth, the catcher, John Buck. Batting seventh, the designated hitter, Calvin Pickering.
Oh my goodness, I forgot about Calvin Pickering.
Batting seventh, in right field, it's not a snack, it's Emile Brown.
I love Emile Brown.
And batting ninth at second base, Ruben Gotay.
You know what?
This team scored 9 runs on this date in Royals history.
You know what? When you say it like the way that you said it, I now see how they went on a 9-game losing streak. Like, I was a little unsure how that team had a 9-game losing streak, but once you read 5 through 9, the picture became very clear.
To be fair, Brian Anderson started on this date, and he gave up 8 in 3 innings.
So of course, they didn't do anything right. They couldn't pitch, they couldn't hit, they couldn't play defense. They lost repeatedly.
You'll never guess, but Torii Hunter homered.
Yeah, he was a Royals assassin. That's what he used to do, just snipe the Royals at every single turn. Shout out to Torii Hunter, man. Shout out to Torii Hunter. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we had Matt Miller on the show earlier. We'll play the best of that conversation for you. We have been having a little fun today. I think fun would be a way to describe it. We have been going back in time, and we have been listening to the draft reactions of various players for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? We were talking earlier about surefire can't-miss prospects. I will tell you this. In our lifetime, I guess if you're under 40, there has only been one Chiefs player that I looked at as being surefire. There was no possible way that he was going to miss. And no, it was not Patrick Mahomes. They have had one can't-miss, undeniable prospect that I can remember. It was Eric Berry out of Tennessee.
With the 5th pick in the 2010 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Berry, safety, Tennessee.
Well, when you watch Eric Berry play in Tennessee, you see it in every film, every week. Eric Berry's a force. He's a great athlete. He's a great kid, a great communicator of the game, and he blew the combine away with his ball skills. I'm not so sure he can't play corner. But take a look at this guy's anticipation and his closing ability. And when he's in an open field situation, he might be as good a one-on-one tackler as you'll see. You can bring him down in the box and play him at linebacker level, and he is instinctive. He'll find the ball. Big hit versus Tim Tebow. He won't back down from anybody. He can play in the safety position. Great anticipation ball skills. And if you want to blitz somebody, dial his number because he'll get there and he's going to be a turnover creating machine, a leader. Kansas City Chiefs are got to be excited.
Tim McDonald as well. Great defenses have great safety. That's just the bottom line.
So the 12 interceptions, guy, his first 2 years, 14 throughout his first 3, dropped the 2 picks in Monty Kiffin's defensive structure. Obviously, didn't maximize his ability as a center fielder, but those 12 interceptions, first 2 years, team captain at Tennessee.
I know that we like to play revisionist history with Eric Berry's career. And I understand that Eric Berry's career didn't have the end that a lot of people expected or wanted it to have. I am not joking when I say this. If you were around when Eric Berry was playing, Eric Berry is one of the best defensive players in the last 20 years of college football. That's how good he was. That's how good he was. He was amazing at Tennessee. And all of us think that we are draft experts and we have found this diamond in the rough that
there are some players that it seems very obvious, oh, that guy's going to be a good pro. Sometimes you just see it and know. Sometimes you just see it and you know. Eric Berry was one of those players. You knew he was going to translate to the next level. You talk about Hall of Fame and Chiefs Ring of Honor. Somebody explain to me why Eric Berry is not in there. Eric Berry was the comeback player of the year in 2015. He was three times first team all pro for the Chiefs, 13, 15, and 16. He was a five-time pro bowler in his time. He also was on the 2010s all-decade team. Like, you cannot name too many players at his position. Like, these were the three safeties for the 2010s on the all-decade team. Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle, and Eric Berry. That's how good Eric Berry was in the 2010s. I'm telling you, some of you know, when he was coming out of college, he was can't miss. That guy was going to be a good pro. That was going to work. The only argument people had about Eric Berry was really positional value because no safety had ever went that high before. Teams didn't take safeties in the top five now. I think Eric Berry would be the number two overall pick in this draft class. And I love Travis Hunter. Eric Berry just, he was incredible. So it was good to take a trip down memory lane and celebrate how good Eric Berry was. And they ended up being right.
I think, and this is the obvious, but it's so sad for Eric Berry because he should be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. He should be celebrated at the highest level by Chiefs fans. The way Chiefs fans talk about Tyrann Mathieu is how they should talk about Eric Berry, because Berry was better in Kansas City than Mathieu was, and Mathieu was really good. But the end soured so many people. Him saying it wasn't in his spirit, and then it felt like he was day-to-day for an entire season but wasn't even active. Just, it shouldn't affect fans' perception of Eric Berry, but the way it ended, I think, left a sour taste in a lot of fans' mouth, and those fans are wrong, but I think that is the story now with Eric Berry, and people forget the fact that he beat cancer and came back and had an all-pro season. He won two games at safety by himself for the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid as the coach. That should be what we talk about, but we talk about the in-his-spirit comment.
Yeah, I just think with Berry, I think it is just very, very obvious that football broke him down. And I understand how people heard the, it took his spirit. I never heard it the way that other people heard it, but I also think it's really important to note, it's not like Eric Berry didn't, we've seen situations where guys were hurt with one team and then they instantly go to another team and then they're just magically healed all of a sudden. After saying that, his career is essentially over. It's over. Eric Berry does not play past that game. Past the playoff game against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, that is it. That is the end of Eric Berry's career. His body just fell apart. That year that everybody talks about with Eric Berry, he had two phenomenal years. There was one year I actually think he should have won Defensive Player of the Year or gotten more consideration for. I think it was 2016.
That year he had the pick two against Atlanta.
He won two games for them defensively back in 2016. So in 2015, he is an all-pro. In 2016, he is an all-pro. He's an all-pro in three out of 4 years. He is as good as any defensive player in the league. He played three games after that in the league. He played three games. His body gave out. Now, I don't want to make it seem like we have come so far, but I do think now maybe we are a little bit more mindful of the effects that football has on people. And just, I think what happened to Eric Berry is the same thing that happened to Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck woke up one day and said, I cannot do this anymore. Not at the level which I feel comfortable with. And that was kind of it for Eric Berry. So I understand that those comments turn people off, and I think Eric Berry gave football physically everything that he could, and I think his body just stopped responding, and I think that was the end of his career. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, do you have this for Eric Fisher? We actually do have it for Eric Fisher. Here you go.
With the first pick in the 2013 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Fisher, tackle, Central Michigan.
So talk about a first. First time in a long time that we didn't know who the first overall pick was going to be. And a first
It's a Central Michigan Chippewa, the school that sent Dick Enberg out into the world. Dan Meyerle.
That is amazing.
Now sends Eric Fisher to Kansas City.
I feel about him. He's a Pro Bowl left tackle.
This is awesome.
People didn't want to question him going to the Senior Bowl. He's from a smaller school in the MAC. I put on the tape against Michigan State where he pitched a shutout, then against Iowa where he pitched a shutout, and I thought he had as good a week as anybody did in Mobile, and it kind of shut up all the critics and announced that he had arrived.
I just thought of this. This comparison just hit me. So it's not even fully fleshed out yet. Do we think that this year's draft class could be like that 2013 draft class? Now, there is a quarterback or quarterbacks in the mix, but listen to this top 10 in 2013. Like, this is not a good draft. Eric Fisher was the number one overall pick. At that point, it was very Chiefs to have the number one overall pick in a very, very down year. I guess kind of like having the number one overall pick, and Cam Ward is the number one overall pick. So the number one overall pick was Eric Fisher. Number two was Luke Jokel. Number three was Deion Jordan, who basically just did not play in the league. Lane Johnson was the fourth overall pick, who has had a phenomenal career. Ezekiel Ansah was drafted number five. Barcavius Mingo, Jonathan Cooper, Tavon Austin, D. Milner, and Chance Warmack, the guard out of Alabama. Those were the top 10 picks that year in the draft. Do you think there's a chance that we look back at this draft class and the people are right? There's not a lot of high-end talent in this year's draft class. I think Travis Hunter is amazing. I think Abdul Carter is incredible. I would probably put Ashton Jeansey in that conversation too as an elite high-end prospect. The only reason we're arguing with Jeansey is because of his position. It's the only reason why we're arguing it. If he was a wide receiver, we wouldn't be having this argument. He might be the number one overall pick based on the talent that we know exists with him. Outside of that, is there anybody that gets you really excited? I mean, at least in this year's draft class, there were three tackles that went really high on, and one of them looks like they could be a Hall of Famer. Like, it was a good tackle class. Fisher ended up playing a decade in the league, and Lane Johnson is still in the NFL today. Now, Luke Jokel didn't really amount to a whole lot, but, I mean, this draft class, it didn't have a quarterback. It had one wide receiver go in the top 25. This is a bad draft now looking back in hindsight.
I think this draft will be better strictly because of Travis Hunter. Like, part of that draft was, and this is not a perfect analogy, look at who the Heisman people were the year before. Like, usually the Heisman finalists are a who's who of elite talent in college football. Now, sometimes it's elite talents who only translate to the college level, excuse me. But usually, if you're a Heisman nominee, you have a chance to be good in the league. The 2012 Heisman class was Manziel 1 as a freshman, so he couldn't come out. Manti Te'o finished second. He was a second-round pick because he's a linebacker. And shout-out to K-State, Colin Klein, who had no NFL chance.
That's a fair point.
Finished third in the Heisman voting. So when the best three players in college football are, hey, it's a linebacker we think is a second-round pick type of guy, a guy who has no NFL prospects, and a guy who can't leave, it sucks a lot of talent out of the draft. Travis Hunter is a freak, and he's in the draft.
And so, you also got Ashton Jeansey, who finished second.
Correct. So just by those two alone, I feel like this draft will be better. That draft is always going to go down as beyond unique.
That was a fun Heisman race, though, in hindsight. In hindsight, that was actually a really fun Heisman year.
It adds a little extra seasoning of fun now that you know the story with Manti Te'o.
All of it. Like, that first game of discovering Johnny Manziel was a you had to be there kind of moment. Because, like, you had heard about Johnny Manziel, but that afternoon when they beat Alabama, a star was created that day. The Manti Te'o story was the biggest story, and Colin Klein was just a really, really good football player. I think Jordan Lynch was also in that class, too. That's when we were kind of getting along with, like, the Mac played on the weekends. That's a really fun Heisman group now in hindsight. You're right, not a lot of pro potential, but a really, really fun Heisman group in hindsight. Coming up on the other side, we have Matt Miller join us on the show earlier. We'll play the best of that conversation to get you ready for round one of the NFL draft. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right. Earlier today on the show, we had Matt Miller on the show. He is one of my favorite draft people. It has truly been cool to see him rise and come up. And he does fantastic work now with ESPN. You can actually catch him on ESPN this weekend. He will be on the Saturday broadcast from rounds 4 to 7. They're also simulcasting that on ABC. Our conversation with Matt Miller starts with, what is the best case scenario for the Chiefs at left tackle?
Will Campbell's going to be gone. Armon Membo's going to be gone. Kelvin Banks is going to be gone. I know, like, this is one of the most overthought players in this year's draft. And it's funny, we're a couple days away. Everybody's scrambling. Like, oh, you know what? He's going to go a lot earlier. He's going to go out earlier. I don't think he gets past Miami at 13. And so to your kind of your point in the intro there, like, yeah, you can want a left tackle all day. You can need a left tackle all day. these dudes don't just grow on trees. They go early in the draft. Look at the best left tackles in the NFL. Most of them were first-round picks. Very rarely do you find, you know, a guy who's outside of the first round that ends up being good. Jordan Mailata is the only one, and he was a seventh-round pick. Right? He's the only starting left tackle in the NFL that you would say is above average, and it's because he was an international pathway player. The rest of the NFL, left tackle, first-round picks. Most of them are early first-round picks. Deion Dawkins, I would say, another exception, round two guy. But for the most part, you got to get him early. I don't see this as a year to where, unless you're willing to get into the top 15, where you could say, all right, we're getting a long-term left tackle. Otherwise, you're back to what they've done the past several years, which is drafting a project. They've done it in the second and third round. You're drafting a project and hoping they work out, which is exactly what they did last year with Kingsley.
That just feels like such a crapshoot to me, especially at that position, and you just gave the stats. I mean, the odds of you finding your starting left tackle in the third round and him developing just seem so low to me. And with where Kansas City usually selects, it's just never going to be that perfect time to find your left or your right tackle. So that's why I'm looking at this year when you got a little bit of a runway where you were not requiring them to start. This just feels like a good time to kind of take that dive.
I agree with you, especially because you have the extra pick from L'Jarius Sneed. You have that extra pick at 66. The scenario you floated out there, 31, 95, 133, like that's going to get you pretty high. That's a lot of draft capital. It really is. So if you're willing to give that up and say like, okay, like, you know, we're going to give up three picks because this is a team that's perennially in the Super Bowl. We're comfortable giving up those picks to go up high. I think that the question is, where are you trying? Like, where can you actually get to? I've heard Dallas is maybe interested in sliding down from 12. For San Francisco is interested for sliding down at 11. But interestingly enough, those are two teams that could snipe your guy. San Francisco could take Kelvin Banks and be very happy with it. San Francisco brought in Josh Simmons for visits. Dallas has done a ton of work on offensive linemen in this class, especially guys that could potentially kick inside the guard like Membo, like Banks. So it is tough. And if you're in that, if you're in that group that says, hey, we got to go get a tackle, you what you really don't want to have happen is the Jets to take Armand Membo 7, because after that, it's going to get real expensive to come up to the board to get Kelvin Banks.
Can you see a scenario of where any of those guys fall in the draft? Like, is there a possibility that at 31, the Chiefs have a choice, that they could take Joshua Simmons, that they could take Connerly? Or do you think in order to grab that player, they're going to have to move up?
Connerly could be there at 31. And I would say, like, there's a line for me between the other guys and Connerly. He's good, and I think he's a fringe first-round player. So he could be there. And what's interesting about him is he might actually have the best, like, prototypical size and athletic ability for a left tackle. Just the production wasn't always there. You know, he is an ascending player. This dude was a running back in high school. He really only started for 2 years at Oregon. So he is somebody that's still learning. His in-season improvement this year was really, really good, but he is still climbing that ladder a little bit. So he could be there at 31. Josh Simmons is interesting, Carrington. Coming off a patella injury that happened middle of October, people hear knee injury, they think, oh, it's okay. A patella injury is much different than an ACL. It is a full year injury. It's much more like an Achilles tendon. He is not going to be cleared until August at the earliest. So that is probably a player that you're redshirting on tape. He is one of the best left tackles in this class. On tape, he might be the best left tackle in this class, but interviews have been very so-so with teams. He was a player who was at the Senior Bowl, not as an invitee, not as a participant. He was at the Senior Bowl on his own dime, meeting with teams trying to get ahead of some of the, you know, quote-unquote character stuff that comes out about players. So he is a little bit of a gamble. I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs, given you know, some of the issues as of late with draft picks, are in position to take another first-round gamble on a character player. I personally wouldn't feel comfortable doing that if I was working for Brett Veach, but every team sees this differently.
Right now, we're joined by Matt Miller of ESPN. You can catch him on Saturday's broadcast, rounds 4 through 7. They're also doing a simulcast on ABC. Matt, it seems very likely to me that the Chiefs are going to go line of scrimmage with their first pick. We talked about the offensive side of it. Let's go to the defensive side. Tell me who you like from the DN perspective, a guy that can get after the quarterback, or if they want to go D-tackle and put somebody next to Chris Jones, who are some possible options at 31?
Yeah, it's a good defensive end class. I have six guys with a round one grade. I think the issue, again, for Kansas City is five of them are going to be gone by the time you come on the board. Abdul Carter's gone. Jalen Walker's long gone. Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Mykael Williams. I think those guys are long, long gone. Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College could be there. He is not a Steve Spagnuolo guy because he's light. He does have good length. He has really good speed. But I think from a body type perspective, looking at him, the way that he needs to add the power to his game, 6'2.5", 248 pounds, even with 34-inch arm length, which Spags loves, 6'2.5", 250 is not getting it done for Steve Spagnuolo unless he's really changed his philosophy after watching Nolan Smith in the Super Bowl. So he's a player that could be there at 31. I don't think he's a great scheme fit. I look at the defensive tackle class and think this might be the spot. The Mason Graham from Michigan is going to be gone. I think Walter Nolan from Ole Miss is probably gone. He's the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in the class. If you could play him next to Chris Jones, that'd be amazing. He's probably gone. Derek Harmon from Oregon, a ton of upside. Kenneth Grant from Michigan, more of a one-technique nose tackle type, but with a lot of athletic ability. I think Harmon and Grant are the two guys that could realistically be there at 31.
Where do you think the best potential value is? Because you've mentioned some of those offensive lineman candidates that could potentially be off the board. You also mentioned about pass rusher. People love this DN class. Veach likes this DN class. Those guys might not be there as well. Let's say the Chiefs are really thinking best player available. We're not going to pigeonhole ourselves for need. We're really going to go BPA, best player available. Who do you think that could be? What position group do you think it could come from?
Yeah, I mean, we could be looking at a wide receiver, depending on what happens early. It could be a player like Luther Burden from Missouri. It could be Emeka Abuka from Ohio State. I think you could realistically be looking at Maxwell Harrison, the corner from Kentucky, or Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia. So the thing about this class is it's so flat. Like, the player that you have ranked 12 and the player you have ranked 40 are kind of the same. And so that's where it gets tricky. If, you know, I rank guys 1 through 600, but what happened this year was player 11 and player, you know, 35 are kind of the same dude, really. So it is very flat in that regard, which makes, hey, best player available is very much open to interpretation. Like, I would love for Trey Amos, the corner from Ole Miss, to be there. You talk to some teams, they think he goes early 20s. You talk to others, they think he goes middle of the second round. So it's hard to find that consensus this year.
You have been one of the few people in the national media that have been carrying the flag for Luther Burden. I've watched a lot of Luther Burden, even back when he was at East St. Louis. He is absolutely electric with the football. I do think that people are overthinking it a little bit. Maybe he's not the prospect that he was heading into his junior year, but now there's a chance he could not be a first-round pick. People are overthinking a very special player in my mind.
Happens every year, man. And you and I have known each other a long time. I really committed this season to not buying into the BS. You know, if I'm not going to get caught up in a 40 time that doesn't translate to tape, I'm not going to get caught up in a lack of production that's out of your control, and I'm not going to get caught up in production that wasn't generated in real football terms. So with Luther Burden, you know, the numbers slipped this year. The offense wasn't as good. The play calling wasn't as good. Brady Cook got hurt. The run game wasn't as good. It's a lot of reasons. Now, some of that on Luther, did he maybe throttle down and make some business decisions once he realized that he wasn't going to get those Heisman numbers? I think that's absolutely possible. Can he throttle back up when he's getting paid millions of dollars in the NFL? And yeah, I think that's an easy thing to do, is to get a guy to level back up, because you've seen him do it before. Some do it as a freshman, some do it as a sophomore. I've been around that program a ton. I've talked to his coaches, position and head. I don't get it. I think he and Kelvin Banks are the two guys in this class where it's just like we almost over-evaluate people, or we get fatigued because they've been good for so long. It happened to Nick Bosa. Like, it happened to Myles Garrett. It happened to Derek Stingley Jr. Like, people just get tired of talking about players, so we start to over-evaluate them. And Luther is absolutely the poster boy for that this year.
Sometimes I think people think that explosive plays come from play design. No, they come from having explosive weapons around you. And last year you alluded to it with the running back room, and they obviously had injuries when it came to wide receiver. I mean, I would love for them to take Burden if he fell, or Emeka Egbuka if he fell in the draft. I would love for them to go that way at 31, but I'm thinking, just based on how they usually draft, that they're probably going somewhere on the line of scrimmage.
I'm with you. I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive, and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice drafts when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
If you want to hear the entire interview, be sure to check it out. Matt Miller, one of the absolute best in the business. We'll react on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back onto the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. The Royals are off today. We have two NBA playoff games. We have the Knicks and the Pistons. And later today, we have the Clippers and the Nuggets. The Nuggets won game one. The Clippers looking to tie it back up at two games or a game apiece in game two. I am looking forward to that game, looking forward to that series, actually. I think that's the most intriguing round one series. I guess maybe it might be Lakers and Timberwolves. We'll see what happens between those two teams. Let's talk about the draft a little bit before we hand things off. There was a story on ESPN about the Chiefs trading up and what that could potentially look like. It would include their 31st overall pick. It would include one of their third round picks, the second one, and a future fourth round pick. I am in favor of them trading up in the draft. I understand that this draft doesn't have the high-end offensive tackle quality that maybe people want, but I think we have to be realistic in where the Chiefs select. And I don't think that there is usually going to be a guy that's a day one starter with clean medicals that is just sitting there at 31. That's usually not how it goes. And I'm looking at Joshua Simmons, and he seems like a prospect that makes a lot of sense for Kansas City. He was a highly touted left tackle. He broke his knee this year and is recovering. And this is a year in which you could have his rehab and his development be slow. He's not playing this year, at least not early. Juwan Taylor is your right tackle. Jalen Moore is your left tackle, and you will go from there. I think the Chiefs are in a very unique position where they can redshirt an offensive lineman and prepare him for 2026 to be an every down starter for you, whether that's at left tackle or at right tackle when you replace Juwan Taylor. So I'm going to be really intrigued to hear if the Chiefs are in the middle of any rumors. Probably not. They pick at 31. That's normally not where the information comes from, but we got to see how the board falls. We can play this game out. Who's there? Who's not there? I think we know realistically who are the offensive tackles that they would take, who are the pass rushers they could potentially take, and I think there's a couple of wide receivers that could at least make things interesting if they want to try to give another weapon to Patrick Mahomes. We had a lot of fun today. Check out the podcast page, 913-586-7965. We're handing things off to Bink next, right?
Character Concerns with Bink and Uno Cero.
Absolutely. Character Concerns podcast. We will be back tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.